we left off yesterday, just beginning the sugya, and then towards the bottom of Beis and the Beis. So the Gemaras begin to introduce us the principle of chinuch, particularly as it was playing out in the sugya of Hilni Amalka, the famous sukkah of Hilni Amalka. It was machlekes etanoim, what the status of that sukkah was. Was the kosher, was the possible, it was above 20 amos. So Rabbi Yehuda brought a raya that you see that above 20 amos is ksheira, and the Chacham responded, no, the sukkah was psuva. She was a woman, so it didn't matter anyway. She was ptur from the mitzvah, which Rabbi Yehuda said, but she still had children, and the children had given chinuch already, and therefore the sukkah presumably had to be kosher on their behalf. But we're not quite sure what the response of the Chacham was. Again, as the sugya is going to continue, hopefully we'll get to that. So we began to discuss yesterday a question that the Rishonim are bothered with in Maseches Yuma, where the Mishnah there also speaks about a concept of chinuch. There it's talking about chinuch for fasting in Yom Kippur. The Rishonim posed the problem that the Gemara Maseches Yevamos, at least according to one opinion, which happens to be the way we paskin, that Kotan Ochal Avelos in Beis Metzuvah LaFrishay, if Beis Din or any other person for that matter sees a child doing something that's also eating treifas, doing chil Shabbos, going to the cemetery, whatever the case may be, if Beis Din sees it, they don't have to intercede. There's no need to stop them. They shouldn't cause them to do it, but there's no need to stop them. So, Frek the Rishay Makasha, what happened to Chinuch? So, we saw a whole series of answers in the different Balei HaTosfos yesterday. We saw one day in Tosfos says, Chinuch Hinami, Tach, there is Chinuch, but the kids are over the age, the kid in Yevamah says, Tach, under the age of Chinuch. Or Tosfos quoted from Belazim Mitzah, Chidush Gadol. The chinuch only applies to mitzvahs esei, not to los esei, so we had to touch up Yom Kippur a little bit, smooth out the edges. And then the teretz that became really the main focus of the end of the sugya, which is going to lead into today's year, is the teretz that's presented by the Tosfos Yeshanim, that maybe chinuch doesn't apply to an outsider. Maybe the notion, the concept of chinuch, is limited only to a to a father. It doesn't apply. It doesn't apply to an outsider. It doesn't apply to Beis Din. It doesn't even apply to the mother, for that matter. To which then Tosfos Yeshanim got very, very weary, and they said, but the Gemara talks about chinuch by Hilni Amalka. So we said, Tosfos says, either there was a father there, he was a little on the quiet side, we didn't hear about him, or maybe Hilni Amalka wasn't real chinuch, it was just Lemitzah B'yama, which Rabbi Kivega already pointed out, was very difficult, at least in the text of the Gemara. But I'll call upon him, when all the dust settles, there is a no question about it, a machlekes of Rishonim, whether the concept of chinuch is limited to a father, or it extends to a mother, to others as well. There is a machlekes apoyskim in Shulchan Aruch in the end of the Shabbos, the end of the third chalak of Mishnah Berurah. So the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramot talk about this shaila about halacha l'maaseh. I see a kid doing chol Shabbos, not my own kid. I'm walking into a room. I see a 12-year-old turning on the light. So what am I supposed to do about that, if anything? So one day, Antoni says, "Don't do anything about it. Cut the nochon veil. Same bathing suit on the fish. Not your problem." Your kid, you have to stop. Somebody else's kid, it's not your problem. There's no chinuch, there's no mitzvah nafisha, there's no chinuch, there's nothing. And the other day in the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah is, I know, but you have to stop him because maybe we hold that there is chinuch for other people's kids as well. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Chayyadam that we're not sure what the din is. We took the shtichel sveik of the dina. If I see somebody else's child doing, if I see my own child doing aveira, if the child is old enough to be mechanech, I have to stop him. But if I see yenim, somebody else's child doing aveira, so the Chayyadim is not sure what the din is, so therefore he recommends that we should split between deraisas and derabbanans. If I'm walking into a room and I see a child doing a deraisa, so that's a problem. Then I have to be cheshish for the machmir for one day in Tosfos Yeshanim, and I have to stop even though he's not my child. If I see the kid moving muktzah doing a derabbanan or something, then I can leave him alone. Then I can rely on the mekilim that I'm not mechuyav to stop. So that's the Mishnah Berurah quotes of the Chayyadim. That's what we're basically noyeg, that by deraisas you have to stop somebody else's child. I mean, you would have to do it very gently and very delicately, you know. You don't want the father to come and batter you, you know. You have to figure out if it's possible, sometimes it's not possible. Everyone agrees if I see a gadol doing an aveira, I have to stop him, but it's not always practical. Sometimes there are other factors, sometimes whatever it is, whatever the factors are. But if I see a child doing an aveira, if it's a deraisa, I should try to correct him. If it's a derabbanan, then one has a right to be made. So several years ago, back already a while ago, I was once... it was once for Shabbos in Muncie by one of my brothers-in-law, and it was a time of years ago. It was 13 years ago because I know the shul was already 13 years old. So there was 1 year in between when I left the shul in Paramus, and the shul in Brookport wasn't built yet. So I was a free agent that year. So all my stories about going away for Shabbos happened in those 6 months. That was the only year. Otherwise, I haven't gone away for Shabbos in the last 20 years, except for a simcha or something. So or the summers, but so all my random stories were in that time. So I remember we went to my brother-in-law for Shabbos, and it was November time. It was, you know, the fall season when there was a lot of leaves on the ground. So I walk to shul, and I see right outside the shul, the kids are playing, they're collecting piles of leaves. They're making piles, and they're jumping into the leaves. They're little kids. They're making a big game. They're running around in the, you know, in the front of the backyard of the shul, collecting little leaves into a pile and jumping around them. So I was thinking, you know, should I say something about it? So Shalav HaRais of Ma'amer. We spoke about this in Masechah Shabbos. It's one of the blocks on Shabbos. You're not allowed to gather things together where they grow. It's the worst Ma'amer possible. It's Ma'amer Makom Gidulo. Taisus writes in Beitz that Ma'amer only applies where the things grow. Let's say if I have a couple of apples in my, on the floor of my living room and I collect them together, that's not Ma'amer. But if I go to the backyard and I collect all the apples that are on the floor under the apple tree, I collect and make a big pile, that's the Melacha D'Oraisa of Ma'amer. So here, the kids are taking the leaves off the ground, right off the trees, and they're collecting them into a big pile. So the Mechatz Chinuch raises a shaila whether the Melacha of Ma'amer applies to non-edible items. The Gemara always speaks about Ma'amer in the context of food. So the Mechatz Chinuch is not sure. Maybe Ma'amer doesn't apply if it's not edible. So it's a Machlokes Amoraim, Machlokes Atanoim. Why? Because the Gemara has a Machlokes in Masechah Shabbos, what Melacha the Mekashish Eitzim did. So one day in the Gemara is that he was Ma'amer. And the other day in the Gemara is he did Hotzah, he did Kotzer maybe. So according to Mechatz Chinuch, the Kudus HaMachlokes is those opinions in the Gemara that Dafka said he was not Ma'amer, because they were of the opinion that Ma'amer wouldn't apply to wood. Wood is not edible, so there's no way he could have been a Ma'amer. And the other days the Gemara say he was. That's a Shah Machlokes Tatar, Machlokes Mishayim, what the din is. Everybody agrees that would still be a problem with the Rabbanan. The Gemara is clear that there's still Ma'amer with the Rabbanan, even if it's not edible. But maybe on a level of the rice, and maybe it wouldn't be a problem. So when I saw these kids doing this, I was wondering to myself, now it's a shaila on whether they have a deraisa here. If it's a deraisa, I should stop them. If it's a derabanan, so then they can rely on the chayadam, and I'm not sure whether it's a deraisa or derabanan. So I was building back, what should we do? So I decided, instead of me here, I was a guest in town, instead of me just, correcting all these kids, the shul had asked me to say a shiur that afternoon. The shul. So I originally had planned about talking about something else, but I decided this is as good a time as any. So I spoke about the Melacha Ma'amer, and I spoke to all the Balabatim, all your kids are violating Ma'amer, either Deraisa, Deraban, and Menchus Chinuch. And then I explained why the reason why I didn't stop the kids is because maybe it's a Deraban, it was a Deraisa, I gave a whole shiur about Katar Ochel Nevelis, and hopefully the parents would have been back there in 20 years for sure. Next time.
Yeah.
I don't know. Depends how mad the adults are going to get when you try to correct their kids. They'll probably get more angry at you if you correct their kid. Yeah, today's world, it's a little different. People get very edgy, very, very sensitive about things. Okay, so basically getting back to the story. So this question about whether chinuch applies, dafka to the father, chinuch applies to an outsider, this is something which is so basic, so fundamental, that's going to touch not only in the realm of chinuch in the sense of stopping kids from doing aveiras, but it's going to spill over into the realm of children doing mitzvahs as well. And really touched on a fundamental question when, on the one hand, we know minat Torah, a child does not have to do anything. Minat Torah, It's a freebie. Till is bar mitzvah. He can do whatever he pleases. He can be mechal Shabbos and he can treif and he can doesn't have to do any mitzvahs. He's a partying till the minute bar mitzvah, everything stops. He's got to sit and learn Torah yom v'leil. He's got to davening all the time. He can't do any aver. It's a hard transition. So therefore, midrabbanan Chazal instituted that we should ease the way a little bit. If you're going to start to teach the kid about the Torah mitzvah at the age of 13, that's not going to happen. So midrabban, the Chazal instituted the notion of being mechanech our children. Now that doesn't mean to say that the whole institution of chinuch is only a derabban. It's a very loaded statement. What it means is as follows. Min ha-Torah, there's a mitzvah to teach our children Torah. That's not a question. That's not a shaila. But min ha-Torah, we have to instruct them, we have to talk, we have to teach them Torah, but they don't have to observe the mitzvahs. So we have to tell them, Shabbos, teach them all Lamentes Melachas, teach them all Hilchos Bukta and everything, and then they can do whatever they want. Then they can go to the movies, they can drive the car, they can do whatever they want on Shabbos on a level of their eyes. So we're mechuyav to be melamed Torah to our children, min ha-Torah, but min ha-Torah, you're not mechuyav to make sure that they actually implement it until after they turn bar mitzvah, because technically they're not b'nei chiyuva. So when we say chinuch is derabbanan, we have to be careful what that means. The Meshech Chochma has a comment in his Parashat Chumash, in Parashas Vayero. The Torah says that when HaKadosh Baruch was about to destroy Sodom, so he informs Avraham Avinu. And why does he inform Avraham Avinu? Because the Pasuk says, because he loves Avraham Avinu. He has a close relationship with Avraham Avinu. He doesn't want to do something without telling him. So the Pasuk says, what does the Ribbono Shel Olam love about Avraham Avinu so much? Ki yedativ, why do I love him? So out of all the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu singles out about Avraham Avinu's chus, he doesn't say that he was a big old chesed. He doesn't say that he was a, he knew how to daven. He doesn't say he brought kabbalas. It says, that he's going to train his children, he's going to train his household, that he was mechanech his children, he's going to be mechanech his children. He didn't have any children yet. I mean, yeah, Shmuel, whatever, he didn't have Yitzchak yet. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu had confidence in him that he's going to be mechanech his household properly. So Mechas Chinuch says, you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that. You see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pleased with that. That's one of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's goals for us, that we should be mechanech our children properly. So Mechas Chochma says that the details of chinuch haMidrabanan, the fact that I have to mamash make sure my 10-year-old eats in the sukkah, that's a detail midrabanan. I have to make sure my 12-year-old hears kiddush on Friday, that's a detail midrabanan. But the overall concept of mechanech, so to say that that's only something the rabbis made up. In the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, nobody had their kids do anything. In the days of the midbar, so the kids were running around like Voldechayas. Some of my kids also run around with the chayes. But they weren't doing anything. They weren't. No one was teaching the kids. All of a sudden, 13 never became the Vonagon. The age of 13. Till 13, they were doing whatever they wanted. Obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, and the Ratzon Hashem is, we should try to train our children properly. But it's not a chiyuv min haTorah. It's not an absolute chiyuv min haTorah until the kid turns by mitzvah. Then, midirabbanan, they instituted a chiyuv chinuch. So the question is, we have to be magdi properly. What is this chiyuv chinuch midirabbanan? So this mitzvah chinuch midirabbanan can be understood in one of two ways. So what's the nature of the mitzvah of chinuch midirabbanan? So one can understand in one of two ways. Either one can understand that although min haTorah, the child is not a mechuyah bedover until he reaches bar mitzvah, that's true min haTorah. But midirabbanan, for the reasons that they felt necessary, Chazal instituted that we're gonna up the ante, we're going to start a little bit early, we're going to declare that this child is a mechuyah bedover. At what age does that kick in? So Chazal didn't want to make something silly. You're not going to say to the 2-year-old you have to do mitzvahs. He doesn't know what you're talking about. So when he reaches 6, 7, 8, depending each mitzvah, each child, a little bit of each chanukah narpi darkai, when a child basically understands what's going on, midirabbanan, they will mata l'chiv on him, and now he becomes, in a sense, a mechuyah bedover midirabbanan. So the chiv of chinuch midirabbanan means that the katan is transformed to become mechuyah bedover. It's not fundamentally different than my chiyuv to light Hanukkah candles. It's not fundamentally different than my chiyuv to wash the Tilas Yadayim. Min haTorah, I don't have to light Hanukkah candles. Min haTorah, I don't have to wash the Tilas Yadayim. But midirabbanan, I do. So my 12-year-old is not mechuyah min haTorah to sit in the sukkah. But midirabbanan, he is mechuyah. But kopanim is mechuyah bedavah midirabbanan. Or maybe no. Maybe we got it all wrong. My cousin is not a mechuyah bedavah, not min haTorah, not midirabbanan. So what's the chiyuv of chinuch? It's a different mitzvah lagamrei. It's a what? It's a chiyuv hamutal al whom? It's a chiyuv that the chacham instituted that the father has. It's the chiyuv of chinuch doesn't speak to the child. The chiyuv of chinuch speaks to the father. Why the father, not the mother? The mother should also be included. So one could argue, not necessarily, one could argue that there's a called the tikkun rabbanan kein deraisa tikkun. And when Chazal instituted the mitzvah of chinuch, they didn't make the mitzvah of chinuch in a vacuum. They made a mitzvah of chinuch and they patterned it after certain dinim in haTorah. What are the dinim in haTorah? What would be the most logical dinim in haTorah that they patterned the chiyuv chinuch after? The mitzvah of shenatan, the mitzvah of teach Torah. That's how we started off a minute ago by saying that min haTorah you have to teach a kid every Reb Chaim, every Baruch Ber, every Shtirut, every Bochon, every Tehillim, all the kol haTorah kula, but they don't have to keep any mitzvahs. They don't have to do anything. Talk about mitzvah min haTorah, they don't have to do anything. Midrabbanan, they instituted. That's very hard to do that. So midrabbanan, they instituted that just as min haTorah, you have to be melamed Torah. So midrabbanan, now you have to be mechanech. They should observe the mitzvahs. You should do nasev nishmet. They should do the mitzvahs midrabbanan. But that chiyuv was mutal on the father, and that chiyuv only makes sense for someone who's mechuyav melamed his benai. So the mother is technically exempt from being melamed as baneha. So this is one of the mitzvahs av labein. The same way min haTorah, we have other mitzvahs av labein. A father has to make sure that his son has a bris milah. The mother doesn't have that chiyuv. Father has to do pidya ben. The mother doesn't have the chiyuv. The father has to teach Torah. The mother doesn't have that chiyuv. So midrabbanan, they will matla chiyuv on the father.
The reason we follow the
Oh, you're asking a bomb question. Kobe's asking a kasha. Which side? On this side, right?
Yes.
Oh, very good. You're mechaving to Rabbi Chanan's kasha. Come to Rabbi Chanan Wasserman. And his kutcher's different statement. In the beginning of Chelik Beis in Kevet Shurim, Rabbi Chanan wrote a, which is a classic called the kutcher's different statement. We've quoted this many, many times. He has all the backgrounds, all the lomdus, which mahalchim about the role of the rabbanans, the rabbanans and the raises with the koicham, etc. So in this sefer, he asks this bomb cash. He says, if the whole mechayev to observe mitzvahs the rabbanon is from the Torah itself, that's what the Rambam writes. The Rambam, the beginning of his Mamram writes, why do I have to listen to the rabbi? The rabbi tells me to light chanuch yanus. I don't want to listen to the rabbi. I listen to the Rabban Shalom, I have allegiance to the Rabban Shalom, I don't listen to the rabbis. So what's wrong with that attitude? So the Rambam says, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you to listen to the Chachamim, so the Chachamim told you to light Chanukah candles. So the Rambam writes, when you light Chanukah candles, you're fulfilling the mitzvah deraisa of Yasisa Pia Dovash Yagiducha. And if you decide not to light Chanukah candles, so the Rambam says, then you're in violation of the Torah prohibition of Salsa Dovash Yagiducha Yaminusmal. It's a famous sheet of the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchas Mamre. So Kobi asked the Kasha, according to the Rambam, that the whole mechayiv of listening to the Rabbanon is the fact that I have to listen to the Torah. So now the Chacham come and tell the Katan. They say to the 12-year-old, listen, you have to eat in the sukkah, because mid the Rabbanon we make you chayiv. If the child was smart, if he learned Kol Torah Kul already, what would be the child's correct response? I don't have to listen to you. We would hope we would say with a little bit of derech eretz, but I don't have to listen to the rabbi for. What do you mean not listen to the rabbi? Lo sas min adavar. So he said, excuse me, lo sas min adavar. Last we checked, that was written for b'nei chiyuvah. Mishkin ben chiyuvah. I'm not chayiv in mitzvahs min adavar. So by definition, I'm not chayiv in mitzvahs min adavar. So if you hold that the chiyuv is taken not on the child, the chiyuv on the father, so then I understand that the father is over by mitzvah. So the father is mechuf to mechanek the child. But if you take the first time the chakira, so then how does the chiyuv get off the ground in the first place? Anyone remember the answer? What? Oh, it's an Hashem. We must say this many, many times. Dr. Bachan, one of the most basic yesoidis in all of his svarim, is that there are two chiyuvim in terms of our existence in this world. We're obligated to follow the tzivui of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and we're obligated to follow the rotzen of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. The tzivah, the Rabbanu Shel Olam, is written in Breishis Barakim until the Enikol Yisrael, and it's expounded upon and explained by the Tashi Bapeh. That is the absolute command word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then, there's a second half of the story. The second half of the story is the Ratzon of the Rabbanu Shel Olam. If I'm smart enough to figure out what the Rabbanu Shel Olam wants in between lines, as great, as vast as Kol Torah Kul is, it still doesn't talk about everything. Even the Gemara, there are cases that don't appear in the Gemara. There are cases that don't appear in Shulchan Aruch. Cases that don't appear even in the latest article halacha series. There's nothing that there. You have to sometimes read between the lines. You have to sometimes figure out what is the Ratzon Hashem, even if it's not an explicit tzivui. Who is qualified to inform us what the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is? You can only know the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu if you understand the Rabban Shalom, if you understand what the tzivuyim are. If I never read the book, I don't know the author. I never met the author. I never read anything the author wrote. I'm going to lahavdol mamish lahavdol elef lahavdolus mamish elef ben kaddish lachol a million times over. A person reads a piece of Shakespeare, so we know that there are a lot of nuances, and a lot of hidden things, a lot of things behind the scenes that I assume Shakespeare had a lot of different deep kavanas and different things. So who's going to be qualified to understand this? So you can have, you know, a guy spends his entire life, he studied every play, he's read every Hamlet, every Macbeth, every Julius Caesar, he's read 100 times over, he knows every nuance of what Shakespeare meant, and every word, and everything, and he's really got a hekef of Shakespeare, and then he reads the line in Shakespeare, he'll tell you, he'll give you such an insight as to what's in between the lines of Shakespeare. Then you have another kid, you know, the kid's in ninth grade, they still have cliff notes, they still look at this. Okay, these are called monarch notes. You know, they're red books, and then they turn to cliff notes. Okay, so the guy, he never heard, he doesn't know who Shakespeare is. He knows he's got an English final tomorrow, and somebody told him, if you read quickly, you'll figure out that Hamlet did this, he did this, and then and come on, and you get the whole 9 yards. So this kid's gonna go and tell you, that's the Shakespeare's kavana. This is what he really meant in between the lines. I'm sure it's honest. So it's a million times over Leitzanus, that's the Dvar Hashem. So a person who's read the Tzivuyim and read in a lifetime, delving into the nuances of every Tzivu, the Rabbanu Shalom, and then a new situation comes up and he has to try to evaluate, is this the Ratz or not the Ratz? So he's going to have something intelligent to say. A guy who never read the Tzivuy, he never read in the original, he Googled it from somebody else, who Googled it from Yedim, from the 16th time over re-Googled, and says, oh, he has the Marim Macham. He sounds smart, because he found the Marim Macham that sounds impressive. 100 years ago, if a person would quote from the Givas Pinchas, he'd say, what a Tamil Chacham. That means he read every, Gemara, every Taisis, every Shulchan Aruch, every Marim Macham, and he also read the Shas Tshuvas Givas Pinchas from cover to cover. It's talk a big thing. Now a guy quotes, give us Pinchas Chelek Gimel Shoresh Yud Beis. He knows who Pinchas was. He knows who, he has no idea. It could be his neighbor wrote the safe. He doesn't know who the guy is. What? How did he know this? He never read the Gemara, never read the Rash, never read the Taisus. But if you go online, you play around the websites, you'll find someone will tell you that the Sefer Givas Pinchas that was written 10 minutes ago in Bnei Brak has something exciting to say about this topic. And this guy quotes it. He's so up to date. He knows every single Shalos Teshuva. He must be the world's greatest Talmid Chacham. It's usually the opposite. It's just my little daughter was just telling yesterday. She has to do a project for school. And she tells me that she needs primary sources. She's 10. She needs a primary source. She needs some family history or something. She needs a primary source. So I said, what does that mean? She said, she needs like a passport, like if a grandparent or something, a passport, a birth certificate, a primary source she needs. So she wasn't exactly sure doing some primary sources and secondary. So I explained to her the primary source and secondary sources. So you have to find people who know the primary sources. People who know the 15,000 time recycled secondary sources are not impressive. The real godless in Torah is if you know what's really, if you know the real stuff. That's the real stuff. Anyway, getting back to this, what are we talking about? I don't remember because they didn't prepare shiur for today, so I just have to ramble for a few minutes. Well, about tonight. But I was planning on talking about this even if Kobe wouldn't have prompted me. So Ratzon HaTorah. Zokta Bochana and the Chachmei HaTorah are the ones who are moisit to you what the Ratzon HaTorah is. So the Chachamim Beruach Kodshim, they understood that the Rabbanu Shel Olam wants children to do mitzvahs also. The Rabbanu Shel Olam didn't want to be too tough on the kids. You know, the kid's 10 years old, he can barely sit in shul. His father can't sit in shul. He can't sit in shul. So the Rabbanu Shel Olam Rachmanis on him and doesn't want him to be life so difficult. So he gave him a freebie until he turns 13. But you think the Rebbeinu Shalom wanted Jewish children to be Mechal Shabbos? You think that's going to give Nachas Ruach to the Rebbeinu Shalom that the little 10-year-old is reading Treif? You think the Rebbeinu Shalom didn't want the kids to be sitting in the sun? Of course he wants them to. He didn't want to be Mechayev them yet. They're too young, they're tender, they're little, give them a break a little bit. He doesn't want to give them Skila for Chal Shabbos. But to say he doesn't want the kids to be Shabbos Shabbos, you never sang a Shabbos Shabbos, Abayim Abbas, Takel Yerath. Abayim Abbas, the little kids, we want the children. Everyone should be Shabbos Shabbos together. Yes, everyone should be Shabbos Shabbos. So midirabbanon, the Chacham took the Ratzon Hashem Yisbarach and put a chiyuv on it. So the Chacham made up a chiyuv, but to say that it's nothing, minatur, of course it's the Ratzon Hashem. So Rabbi Chanan says, at what age in a person's existence do they become bound to do Ratzon Hashem? What's the answer? As soon as they're old enough to know what the Ratzon Hashem is. If you're 2 years old, you're probably not going to know the Ratzon Hashem. But you're 6, 7 years old, I know what the Rabbanu Shalom wants. Every 6, 7, 8-year-old little Jewish child knows exactly what the Rabbanu Shalom wants. He or she knows the Rabbanu Shalom wants you not to turn on the light on Shabbos. You know that. You don't have to be so sophisticated to know that. So therefore, they made the Katan Mechubidah. Fine. So with all the dust settles, the Katan has to do mitzvahs. Midirabban. Either the Katan has to do it, the father has to make him do it. Does it make a difference? Is this just a nice academic shiloh, is there some real tachlis to this? No, what's the answer, by say? What's the answer? Our shiloh. It's our shiloh. I see a child doing something wrong. Am I supposed to get involved? It's not my child. So if you hold, let's walk it through. If you hold the chiyuv chinuch is what? It's only on the father. This doesn't even speak to me. It's not my kid. I have problems with my own kids. I have to be mechalach my own kids. I don't have to mechalach your children. So if you tell the same way that I don't really have to give a bris milah to your child. There's a new din by bris milah that if the Jewish people know that there's an oral in the midst, there's a new chiyuv to make sure there's no oral in the Jewish people. Let's see other things. Pidgin Aben. I see your kid doesn't have a pidra ben, I'm a chuyav to do something about it. Mapitum. There's no such chiyav. Pidra ben is a chiyav, and the father does do it. The chiyav is on the child to his bat mitzvah. So machloikis apoyskim, is it a nice thing to do? Should we as a bezim step up to the plate and volunteer to do it? So half the achrayim say it's a great idea, and half the achrayim say it's not going to work because you can't do it. Zechiyah shlichas, we spoke about in the past. Well, let's say I see somebody else's child who doesn't know how to swim. I'm mechuyav to go running around teaching every child to swim. The Gemara says that Chazal instituted that you have to teach a child how to swim because it's dangerous. In the old days, we went on boats all the time. It's very dangerous. You don't know how to swim. So I have to go around giving swimming lessons to every single Jewish child. It's a new chiyav. My own child, I have to make sure. Or let's say there's a chiyav, you have to marry off your child. The Gemara says you have to spend a lot of money and do whatever you can to marry off your child. I'm chuyav to marry everybody else's child off. The tzedakah, if I know there's a particular person who doesn't have the means to marry off a child, it's the same as giving him food, giving him clothing. But it's the chiyav to lahasi banav of naisav. That's a chiyav, that's a munach on parents. That's not a chiyav, that's munach for somebody else's child. So if you hold that chinuch is part of this package of chiyuve aval amein, so if I see somebody else's child doing something, doesn't speak, it's not my problem. But what if you hold the other way? What if you hold that a katan is ma'amash and mechuy b'davar? Midrabban, he's a real bona fide mechuy b'davar. So if I see a child eating treif, that's like seeing a gadol moving mukta. If I see a 30-year-old moving mukta, I'm not supposed to say something? Of course I'm supposed to say something. Again, whether it's a good idea b'zman is a bad idea b'zman is a mutushu shaygin, is he going to listen, he's going to bat me over that. Those are extra issues. Those are they're important issues, but that's not the issue right now. But be'ikaron, if I see a 30-year-old not doing a mitzvah midrabban, I see a guy eating bread without until she's dying, I'm not supposed to stop. Of course I'm supposed to stop him. So anytime I see someone who's mechuyav b'davar, either min haTorah, midrabban, doing something, I'm supposed to stop them. So if you hold that a child is mechuyav b'davar midrabban, so then I should have to stop them. So l'chora, our shayla, the 2 days in the Tesis Yishanim, the whole pit we've been talking about, the whole Hilni Amalcha story, was there a husband there? Was there not a husband there? Back and forth and back and forth. This is all revolving around this fundamental chakira. What is chidich? It's all midirabanan. I mean, I'll tell you, none of this exists. Midirabanan is it a chiv amutal ala kotlan? Is it a chiv amutal ala av? If it's ala av, so pashta dover is below the aim. And if that's the case, then the Hilni Amalcha story is very, very problematic, to which you have to say either there was a father there, like Tazi Shalom said, or maybe, even if there's no father, and it wasn't real chiyuv, she was just trying to go the extra mile, but she wasn't really mechuyav. And of course, that was Rabbi Kivega's problem. The Gemara sure doesn't sound that way.
Based on what Rav Hanan said with the Rav and Hashem, wouldn't you say that in the case of chiyuv mutal, even if it's not your child and you're able to do something,
I should do it to help the father do his chiyuv?
You should do, because that's Rav and Hashem.
No, but it could be that the other day, this approach may not buy into that Ratzon Hashem story for this application.
I mean, Rabbi doesn't want the kids to be doing Avera, so if you see a kid doing
Avera. No, we don't know that. maybe that's not true. The only reason why we're mechuyev to say that there's this Ratzon Hashem story over here is according to the Tzad and the Rishonim that a Kotel is mechuyev be'atzmai. If you say like the Ramban, we'll see this a little bit later, look at the Ramban, the Rishonim that the Chiv is mutla la'av, so then maybe there's no need for that. No, I'm not saying there's no need for Ratzon Hashem. Hashem is a good thing otherwise. But to plug in Ratzon Hashem into the Chinuch story may not be necessary. Well, it's possible. I remember when I was 3 years old. So I was shopping in the supermarket with my mother. And I was by kvetching about something. And we got to remember, 50 years ago. When we got to the made such a roshim on me, we came to the cashier to pay, and I was probably making such a big to-do that maybe Mr. Alter, Dr. Will remember this, probably not, because they weren't kosher at the time, maybe remember them anyway. These stuff is like, you know what the little cheese doodles, I don't know what cheese doodles are, but these stuff is like this monster size, big fat cheese doodles, but they weren't kosher. And the cashier took out one of these giant cheese doodles, and she offered to me to shut me up, basically. So I was like, my mouth was like watering at the thought of this. Like, it looked so good, and I was so mad about something. And I'll still remember Adayim as that. My mother said to me, "You know that they're not kosher." She said to me, "She says you know that it's not kosher." And I don't remember my exact words, but it was something along the lines, "I know exactly that's not kosher," and that's like Hasrach. It's like Kabbalah Hasrach. I says, and I think my mother had Rachmanis on the cashier, but I do remember it, and it, I hope it wasn't matanda in the life too much, but it was pretty good from what I remember. It was a long time ago. It's pretty good. Now, every time I see a cheese doodle, I think, oh, Efshi, Efshi. even if it's not Chol Yisrael, at least it's kosher. But that was the emphasis is that I was probably relying on Rabbi Natam, because Rabbi Natam, Tosis quotes Rabbi Natam that the Isser of Gevinas Acham Bezman Hazeh doesn't really apply, because the Gemara says the different reasons. The Gemara, why is cheese trade? What's trade about cheese? Wasn't cheese? What about cheese? Trade about cheese? It's milk. What's trade about cheese? So in the days of the Gemara, they used to mix the cheese with the rennet from the animals to make it turn into cheese. Just to milk the milk to coagulate it to turn into cheese. So there was a whole chashash of the goyim looking for the rennet, whatever. So therefore, midrabanan, they made a gezerah that if it's goyish cheese, whether there is or not, they made a gezerah across the board. So Tosfos quotes from Rabbi Natan, Mother Rishonim, who say that gezerah doesn't apply unless you live in a time and place where people really use rennet. But if you use other kinds of things to make cheese, so they quote from the Chachma Navona. Navona was in southern France, was in the Provence. They quote from the Chachma Navona that in Navona, in southern France, the minhag was they didn't use the animal rennet. They used to use some flour product, some vegetable product to make the cheese. So they quote from the Chachma Navona that they used to eat goyish cheese in Provence because they were of the opinion that the gezerah doesn't apply if the metzias doesn't apply. So in America, most of the cheeses, there are some cheeses that are use animal stuff, but a lot of the cheeses are just done with artificial garbage, bezman hazeh. So especially the cheapy cheeses in the cheese curls, I imagine not made with the expensive animal rennet. So it could be that maybe the tray for cheese is not as tray as we thought of. This, I'm not advocating eating tray for cheese. So we admitting is we don't eat it. But as a 3-year-old boy, maybe B'Shesed Chach, we're making on Rabbi Natam Shita. Okay, good. Anyway, getting back to the story. So where are we up to? Oh, yeah, we're going back to that story. Yeah.
Two concepts that somehow seems to me would play in, but I haven't read the mentioned. One is Hochayach Tochiach.
Yeah.
And the other is Kol Yisrael
Arayim. Oh, okay. So Hochayach Tochiach is part of the mitzvah of Lafrisha Miyasah. But we're talking about Ketanim. So we're talking about, technically speaking, the Ketan is not really Ketan. Minat Torah, they only have to stop you from doing an Aveira, but it's an Aveira. If it's not an Aveira for you, you're not a Mechupidav, so there's no Hochayach Tochiach. Kol Yisrael Reimans Alazet is an important principle. We'll talk about it a little bit later. But again, I'm Arif to make sure someone who's Chayv and Mitzvahs. Let's say, Lamashal, I see there's a woman around and she can't make it to Shul in Rosh Hashanah. So Kol Yisrael Reimans Alazet means I have to go run blow shofar for her. Mapitom. She's a tour for the Mitzvah. So why don't I go Chayv to her? If I know there's a man in here shofar, then Kol Yisrael Reimans Alazet kicks in, I have to go blow shofar. I also blow shofar. In Rosh Hashanah in the afternoon, I run around also to all the women there who can't make it to shul. But that's not chesed. It's not kol yisrael reimz. I want to cheer them up and give them a day. They should have the service of Rosh Hashanah. But it's not the din of kol yisrael reimz. Okay. So Rabbi, do we have any more input into the shaila? This is such a fundamental shaila, which is the ABCs of chinuch, and it's the ABCs of our sugya, because at the end of the day, everything is hinging around Holy Amalka. Holy Amalka sounds like there was no husbands. According to one opinion in Rishonim, there better have been a husband here. Or the whole Gemara doesn't really mean it, what it says. It wasn't really a chiyuv that she had. If you go down the route that chinuch is a chiyuv on the katan, then the story of Hilni Amalka reads like a charm. If you go down the other pshat, then it doesn't read so smoothly. So what's the answer to this question? What taka is the din? Is chinuch really on the father? Is chinuch really on the child? So much of this discussion revolves around a major, major machlekes in Rishonim. You probably saw most of the Maamar Makomos a little bit in the Tosfos in Maseches Megillah, the Mishnah Megillah, Tosfos Megillah, and the Sugya Maseches Brachos. They basically revolve around what starts out as a steering gemaras. Very often you have, sounds like a steering gemaras, and Machlokes and Rishonim and a Kotz LaKotz had to solve that steering. So the first of the Maamar Makomos in terms of that is on the seventh of the Maamar Makomos. It all started out with the sugya in Hukas Birchas HaMazon. The Gemara has a shaila where the women's chiyuv to bench is min haTorah midRabban. The fact that women have to bench that's a given, that's a Mishnah. Whether or not women have to bench min haTorah midRabban, that's up for grabs. Why in the world would one say it's only midRabban? Why would one even dream? It's not a bit sesh, it's Zman Grama. Would anybody here think that benching is a Zman Grama? Would anybody intelligently think that benching is a Zman Grama? No. Right? Would you say that? Anyone? You don't have to be embarrassed. Anyone would ever think that bench is Zman Grama? So when I was in, I just moved ahead the clock a little bit. When we were in fifth grade, so we were learning Mishnayos Brachas. So we got to this Mishnah about women of Chayavas and Birchas HaMazon, and the same Mishnah talks about Zman Grama. So we were introduced to both the concepts at the same time. So remember, I went to a co-ed elementary school. So one of the girls in the class, we were co-ed for everything, so one of the girls in the class raised her hand and said, How come girls have to bench? Isn't it a mitzvah saseh she has man grama? Why was it man grama? So the girl asked, because you can only bench for 72 minutes after, we must have learned that Mishnah also. So you can only bench for 72 minutes after you finish eating. So that's his man grama. What do you think about that? Who likes that? Why is it not? Why is it? It's a good cash for a fifth grade girl. Why is it? Or fifth grade boy? Why is it not such a good cash? But it's my grandma. You can eat whatever you want. You can bench whatever you want. The din is that you have to be still full from the food in order to bench. I'm going to bench now. I ate supper last night, so I'm going to bench now. So what are you benching for? There's no food. You're not full anymore. So there's no shaykh. It doesn't make sense to bench. It's not that it's my grandma to bench. You can eat whenever you want. You have to make sure that you don't have X amount of time, 7 minutes, whatever it is, can't pass. You have to be careful about this. So on Sunday night, my daughter's chast, I had to be careful about this. Why? Because I wanted to make sure to wash for Suda's mitzvah. So I chapped around 3 minutes before the first dance. I grabbed a challah roll, and I had a challah roll, and that was it. And then the dance went, and then the pictures, and then I noticed that it's getting awfully close to I didn't need anything else in between. So I grabbed something. Baruch Hashem, there was some kugel on the side. Somewhere I grabbed the Pesukim says, as long as you keep things going a little bit. Then I was extra machmer. I took some dessert also. My wife didn't say so. Just to make sure, l'chol hadayis, that I got in. So that way, it was total shem shemayim. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to bench. So it's topped off. So I ate more at that wedding than I did at my own wedding. My own wedding, I just had a challah roll and a cup of seltzer that I remember still from my own wedding. But this, I had a challah roll plus a half piece of potato and a cup of seltzer. So, Baruch Hashem, by the time my youngest daughter gets married, we'll maybe move things along a little bit. Okay. Anyway, by say. So, what are we up to here? Yeah, so it's not Zman Grum. Benching is not Zman Grum. So why would anybody in the wildest dreams think that women are pterus from benching, but not Torah? So Rashi says, because benching is linked to women didn't have a chelik, so they didn't have an independent chelik. Maybe the slavcha they got from the father. The women weren't part of the regular Yerusha of Eretz Yisrael. So Rashi says, Ken Zayin, women up to us from benching, men up to her, because they don't have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rishonim are very bothered by that. Why are the Rishonim bothered by that? Because M.K., who else should be potter? Any Kohanim and Levim here? A new Ptua, all Kohanim and Levim should be potter from benching, because they also didn't get a share in Eretz Yisrael. So most of the Rishonim say, no, at least they got the Eretz Levim, they got something. The women didn't get anything. So different opinions in the Rishonim, why the Gemara has the Shaila. But Lamais, the Gemara has the Shaila. Is benching for women min haTorah min derabanan? So take a look at the seventh amendment. Okay, miss. So I'm going to read the rabbi. Nashim b'riches amaz nerais to derabanan. The man of community. Who cares? The chayv is to bench anyway. Lafuki rabbi dechavosan. Can a woman be mitzi a man in b'riches amaz? Iyamr deraisa. If you hold that a woman's chayv is deraisa, also deraisa, mafik deraisa. So one deraisa can be mitzi another deraisa. El of iyamr derabanan, but if a woman's chayv is only derabanan, havish einu mechuy b'davar. So then on the love of their eyes, if you ask my Shabbain, say women don't have to bench. So on the love of their eyes, women are pturos. As a ptura min haTorah, she can't be motzi amir. So that's the Gemara Shaila. So a theoretical Shaila and then a practical nafkamina. So Gemara says, what's it? Dintoshma. Be'emis Amru, it was said, truly said by Chazal, Ben mevarach le'aviv, Eved mevarach le'rab, Ish mevarach le'bayla. Me'ikar adid, a child, then son can bench for a father, can be motzi a father in benching. Mikra didn't have a kenayin, he can be motzi his adam. And Mikra didn't, a woman can be motzi her husband. Avalam chacham, but the chacham said it's not a nice thing to do. Tavim Meir, they cursed the person. What does that mean if his wife's being motzi him? That means he doesn't know what? But she doesn't know how to read, doesn't know how to bench, doesn't know how to daven. So that's a terrible thing. It shouldn't be such an amaret. So Chazal said it's a terrible thing. But Lamaisa, push comes to shove, the wife can be motzi the man. So the Gemara analyzes this price. Iyam is bishlam adir aisa, as adir aisa, mam adir aisa. If you hold that a woman's chiyuv is min haTorah, so then I understand how she could be motzi a husband on the love of adir aisa. Iyam is adir rabbanon, if her chiyuv is on adir rabbanon, as adir rabbanon, mam adir aisa, how in the world can adir rabbanon be motzi adir aisa? So Gemara says, you're in a pickle no matter what. All the time, flip the question around. How can a child be motzi the father? You have people on one third of the brayse about the woman and the man. You have to answer the brayse. And the brayse is problematic anyway. How in the world could a child on the bar mitzvah be motzi his father? So Gemara says, you have to reread the whole brayse. Halacha ma'askin, the brayse is talking about a very specific case. Hachamayaskinon, that the person who's being Yotzei in this sugya is not really chayv min haTorah anyway. He's only chayv to bench mid the Rabbanon. We're not talking about a mitzvah deraisa. We're only talking about a mitzvah de Rabbanon. What made benching the Rabbanon? It's a pasuk in the Chumash. What's the answer? What's it missing? V'savata. Min haTorah, you only chayv to bench if you're savei, if you're full, if you're satiated. But if you're still hungry, you just had a slice of pizza, you just had a bagel or something, you're still starved, so then you're still chayv. You only chayv to bench only on the level of the Rabbanon. So your chiyuv in this mitzvah is on the Rabbanon. So now we understand why a wife can be moti your husband. Since it's only a mitzvah de Rabbanon anyway, big deal. He's chayav mit de Rabbanon. She's chayav mit de Rabbanon. So therefore, a woman can be moti your man. But imtum tzilayim, it would have been a derais issue. He would have eaten a full meal that Kenza and his wife could not have been moti. So forth. And the same is true for a katan. Why is it? How do you learn pshat in the brayis? How in the world can the brayis say that a child can be moti your father in brachas mazon? The answer is the father didn't eat kedei sevia. So we just read brachas of chaf. We walk away with the following conclusion: by mitzvah the rabbanon, any mitzvah the rabbanon, the chay of the rabbanon could be moti. The chay of the rabbanon could be moti. A chay of the rabbanon. That's called the mechuyah b'davar. A derabbanan can't be motzi deraisa, but a derabbanan can't be motzi derabbanan vis-a-vis mitzvahs derabbanan. What are some examples of chiyuv and derabbanan here? So you have noshim. Who else? Who's the next important one? Tanim. So a katan can be motzi his father. Again, if the father ate kedei sviya, then all bets are off. But if the father only ate kedayas, then we're home free. Everything's hunky dory. That's clear from the Gemara and Brachas. Come all the vishenu abba with the kasha, bomb kasha. The eighth of the Mamakomis, the Mishnah Masechet Megillah says, the Tanakhama, the Rabbanan, the way we pass can say that a Cheirishayt v'kadon cannot read the Megillah for a Gadol. Why? Because they're in a Mechuyah B'davar. What's the Kasha? Last we checked, Kriyas Megillah was what? So the Rabbanan. Chazal instituted Kriyas Megillah 1,000 years after Matan Torah. So a mitzvah the Rabbanan, some good examples of mitzvahs the Rabbanan. Brichas Hamazon. The Kizayas, Kriyas, these are two great examples of mitzvahs derabanan. Wait a second. If these are mitzvahs derabanan, so how in the world can the Mishnah say that a katan can't be multi, a gadol, lama lo? What is the difference between Birchas HaMazon derabanan that a child can be multi, a gadol, and Kriyas HaMegillah derabanan that a child cannot be multi, a gadol? This is the kasha that all the Rishonim are disturbed with. Mayai, what is the difference? How come Birchas HaMazon of Kizayis Cain and Megillah Loi? What is the difference between the two? They're both the Rabbanan. What in the world is the distinction? This is the case. No, what's Taisa's Teretz Rabbi say? Taisa's the famous Teretz of Maseches Megillah. The next time I'm coming, what does Taisa say? Oh, Taisa's created a whole new category in Halacha. Come Taisa's and says that you're focusing on how much the father ate. Okay, we have this here. Get the two players over here. Yeah, there's the father. Okay, he's a big guy. All right, we have a little guy. All right, so he wants to be motzi him, right? So we're focusing on how much did the father eat. So did he eat kedei sviya or did he just eat a kezayas? If he ate kedei sviya, then the game's over. So he just ate a kezayas, all right? He just has a, here's his stomach. Okay, he's got a kizayis down here, all right? Nothing more, nothing less, all right? I want to know how much the child ate. Why do I care how much the child ate? He's chayav midrabanan, whether he ate a slice of pizza or he ate a 30-course meal. He's only chayav midrabanan. Why chpatli how much the child ate? Comes Tyson and says, it's very chpatli. You know why? If the child also ate a kizayis, imagine it's played out. Imagine that the child also only ate a kizayis. So yes, it's true. The big man is chayav in benching mid the Rabbanan. And yes, it's true, the little boy is chayav in benching mid the Rabbanan. But guess what? They're not on equal footing. This is the Rabbanan and that's the Rabbanan, but we have a klal gadol. You know what it's called? It's the antithesis of Abe Lincoln's speech. What do we believe? What are not? Not all the Rabbanans are created equal. That's what the klal of Tosis is. That just because I'm chayav midrabanan and you're chayav midrabanan, he's chayav midrabanan, it doesn't mean that we're equal. They are very, very different from one another. What does that mean? There are gradations. There's a hierarchy within the world of the Rabbanim. So again, the deraisas were gone with. If this gadol ate kedei sviya, then shir is over already. So hacham ma'iskin and the gadol only ate kedeis. That's not changing. That stomach and the gadol is not changing for anything. Comes Tais and makes the following calculation. This katan who ate kezias, and his father who ate kezias. Yes, it's true they're both the rabbanon, it's not true. They're not equal to rabbanons. The child is what we call a trade rabbanon. He's a double rabbanon. Why? Because there are two distinct reasons why his benching is only the rabbanon. Give me the two reasons. One is, well, he's a katan, so anything he does by definition cannot be deraisa. Number two, he only ate what? Whereas the gadol, he's also derabanan. Why is he a derabanan? Kazayas. Is there any other reason why he's derabanan? No. Therefore, he is what's called in halacha a trei derabanan, and he is what's called in halacha chad derabanan. We have a klal gadol in halacha, and a chad derabanan cannot be made to trei derabanan. You know why? Because that's called an eino mechuyav b'davar. Therefore, based on this, Taisus goes back to the Gemara Brachas Daf Chaf and says, so how much did the katan eat? How much you have to stick into that little baby's stomach to get around the trei derabanan? What's the answer? You have to turn it into kedei sviya. You have to knock this down and build this up and make this guy stuffed to the gills. So then, he is the derabanan, he's the derabanan. It's a different derabanan. It's true. It's a different derabanan. Because the gadol's derabanan is because of kezias, the katan's derabanan is because of his age, but that's okay. We can say also, the quote from legal sources, that's equal but different. That's a very, very controversial statement at some time in American history. Equal but different. But that's what basically tries to say. They're different chiyuvim derabanan, but they are equal. They're equal in the sense of that one can be made to another. Unlike, what case do we not have a way to make them equal? What would be the scenario that we couldn't make them equal and therefore the katan can't be melted the gadol? What case? The Mishnah Maseches Megillah. Because the Megillah is a derabanan, but the katan got the other derabanan. He's a katan. So therefore, trade derabanan can't melt the chad derabanan. When all the dust settles, variation of the following question. According to Tosfos, can a katan really be melted you in mitzvahs derabanan? What's the answer to that question, according to Tosfos? Not really. The only way the katan can be motzi is only Birch Sabbath has the two-tier mitzvah to it. Most of the Rabbanan is either the Rabbanan. Benching is the tricky one. Benching is the mitzvah that we can somehow, we can up the chiyah for the katan by giving him a little bit more food, make him a day sviya, therefore make him into a chad the Rabbanan. But most of the Rabbanan, the child cannot be motzi gadol, according to Tosfos. That's the starting point. So again, we have two Gemaras. One Gemara says that katan can be motzi gadol, and one Mishnah Megillah says it can't be. So the answer is chad versus trei. Birch Sabbath is almost the exception to the rule, according to Tosfos.
What would be the din in the bench case if it was a katana?
Well, that would depend on what you think about a chiyav of a woman benching. If you think of a chiyav of a woman, it's only derabanan. That would be another derabanan thrown in, right? So Rabbi say, we have shitzat Tosfos, but of course, you know, as awed and how respectful we offer the Halo Shittas of Tosfos, it is a novel concept that they're introducing to us. I mean, you know, until Tosfos came along, we weren't such briskers. We thought, if you're chayv, you're potter. The Mishnah says in Rashad, if you're chayv, you can be mighty, you're potter, you can't be. Tosfos tells us, no, not chayv doesn't really mean chayv. Chayv means the same degree of chayv, one derabanan, two derabanan. It's a novel interpretation, but you know, we have Rachmanis and Tosfos, they had no choice. Otherwise, they couldn't think of a way to be Yashiv the two Gemaras. Come to Ramban. Halakhi Ramban in the Milchamis, the ripe old age of 18, and comes to Ramban and says, we'll say the first part outside, then we'll get to it. Comes to Ramban and says, the starting point is the Mishnah Maseches Megillah. A katan cannot be mitzi a gadol in mitzvahs, period. Even if the child is chayiv in the mitzvah mit the Rabbanan, it doesn't matter. You know why, says the Ramban? For a very simple reason. Very simple klal, staring us in the face. Why can't the child be mitzi a gadol in any mitzvah, even a mitzvah mit the Rabbanan? Why? Because a katan is a what? Give me three words. Is it ain't a mechubidavar? Rabbi, is it ain't a mechubidavar? You're going to tell me my child doesn't have to hear the Megillah? Of course I have to bring my child to shul to hear the Megillah. Sorry, Zakhtar Ramban, your child's an ain't a mechubidavar. But Rabbi, I got to bring him to shul. What's the Ramban's response? Yup. What would he say? Who would he point the finger at? You, father, have to bring him to shul. But he doesn't have to come. If he can sneak away, he's okay. We'll say to the kid, listen, don't listen to your father. No, you have to come to shul. The father's got to run after the kid to get to shul, but the child doesn't have to listen. Dr. Ramban, the child is an animal, and therefore, since the child is an animal, it's inconceivable for a child ever to be mighty a gadol in anything, even if it's a Rabbanan. One Rabbanan, two Rabbanan. It's not shayach for a kohen to be mighty a gadol. It's impossible. Because the child is an animal, hakol mikol kol. No? Great. The Mishnah Megillah reads like a charm, which Gemara is impossible to read. What? Brachas doesn't read bechlal. Doesn't make any sense. The Gemara Masechet Brachas. The Gemara said, Pem Molly, what does the Braisa say? The Braisa says, Ben Mevarach Liyaviv. We read the Gemara together. Go back to that line again in the Gemara, the 7th of the Ramah Kemis. The last line in the 7th of the Ramah Kemis was, Taimech Kotten Brachiyuvu. According to Rabban, it doesn't make any sense. How can a child be mighty a gadol with brichas and mazon? End of discussion. Pillay plime. There's no way to read this gemara according to Rabban. Bechlal. You know who was bothered with this kasha? Rabbi Kivega. Rabbi Kivega writes in the Gil Nishas, Maseches Brachas. He was bothered. He read this Rabban. He was bothered with this kasha. And he doesn't understand how could the Ramban say that a katan can't be mighty gadol. The Gemara the Farish that he can.
It doesn't say
katan. Well, the time a katan brachi. Whoa! Alhacham ha'eskinan. Well, the time a katan brachi. You're right. The Brisa. The Gemara. So the time a katan brachi. Alhacham ha'eskinan. Kol shi'ach shi'ud Ramban. The Yaster Ramban. The Ramban. Rabbi Kivager is quoting a Ran, and Megillah is quoting this Ramban, who says that it's inconceivable for a Kotan ever in a million years to be mighty gold in anything because he's not a Bachiyuva. So Kivega says, I'm looking at this Ran and Shem Ramban, I'm looking at it, Nochamal, Kanished, it's against the Gemara. What are you going to do? And then Kivega says, I discovered the answer. I discovered the answer in a Melchamas, written by the Ramban, in Maseches Brachas. You know, we're so proud of ourselves. We just put it out on a little piece of paper. Rabbi Kivega discovered the Mocham. Rabbi Kivega read every line of every Mocham. I'm just giving you the high. I'm just Googling off of somebody else. I'm just quoting you the line, the snip from the Mocham. Rabbi Kivega read every last line of it, sat in front of him. And all of a sudden, you see the joy in Rabbi Kivega. Anyone have a Gemara Brachas by any chance? No. So if you take a look at Maseches Brachas, Rabbi Kivega writes that he had Tzarchi and Godly. He didn't understand what the Ramban is coming from. Achimatsosi! You can see it's like Sukhbarashir. Achimatsosi, he discovered the line in the Ramban. You know what the Ramban says? Look at the 10th of the Ramban Kemis. There is no way Lecheret Rimiyashi, the Gemara Maseches Brachas, going to the Ramban's theory. Look at the 10th line. If one of you guys would have given me this test, I would have thrown you out of Shir. But the Ramban says it. 10th of the Ramban Kemis, the Mechamis. Umagiye Svarim. Rabban says he noticed in some text of the Gemara that there was a line that was added. What was the line that was added? Well, the Taimech ben Mefarach Liyaviv. That was the last line in Maramachim number 7. That was the line that caused such problems. That was the line that caused Rabbi Kivega nights of sleepless nights. That line in the Gemara doesn't make any sense according to Rabban's theory. And you know what the Ramban says? You know why it doesn't make any sense? It doesn't exist. It's wrong. Magiye Svarim put it in. Somebody put it in. You know who put it in? They literally put it in. Who put it in? Taisus put it in. Literally, Rabban Tam didn't sneak in the middle of the night, you know, and steal the Ramban's Gemara and learn it a lot. But Rabban Tam, Taisus, their theory put it in effect. That was the gears that they had. Ramban says three words about that line. Alatosi. It's an outright mistake. You know why it's an outright mistake, Zechter Ramban? The katan afilu gil l'chinach in a meitzi achem afilu b'derabonin. Because it's inconceivable because katan can't be meitzi gadol. What's the Ramban's greatest raya? What's the icing on the cake? A raya brush in la tshuva? Kidisnana kol ksher nikras amigil chutz achir shed v'katon. And what's the reason, Zokter Rambam? Between your Ramban, 18 years old, the Ramban made this realization. Says the Ramban, and why is it such a milsa de pshita that the girsa is wrong with Bagi Svarim, what fall for adding that line in the Gemara? The time of the milsa, mishum de chinuch mitzvah de avivu, the iu lav bachiyuvu klal. Can the Ramban be more explicit than that? Chiyuv, the chinuch mitzvah de avivu, what we call chiyuv amut lal av, viu lav bachiyuvu klal. Wrong, and wrong again. So the Ramban, to defend his lack of girsa, which is mukha according to the Ramban, that line is wrong, says the Ramban, it has to be wrong because chinuch is mitzvah d'avivu. So someone's going to ask me, wait a second, you want to cross out a line in the Gemara, okay, we'll swallow that. What does the Ramban still have to explain? What does the Braisa say? We're crossing out Braisa also? What does it say? It says Ben Mifarach Li'aviv. How old is the child? Does it say Katan Mifarach Li'gavu? Say. What was the point of the Braisa? Who remembers? What was the point of the Braisa? To highlight how low the guy is. He doesn't know how to read. That was the point of the Braisa. Remember? Who said it about a Katan altogether? You know who said so about a katan? That line in the Gemara L'taymech, the Magi Svarim B'tos. There's no indication from the Braisa how old this child is at all. The Od Yesh Lema, the Ramban himself adds on. You know, Ben Mivarech Li'aviv doesn't necessarily mean he's Motzi, his father. What it could possibly mean is he's helping his father bench. How's he doing it? Baruch, Baruch, Ato, Ato, Elokeinu, Melech, Olam, Elokeinu, Melech. He's the father's answering after him. Nobody said in the Braisa, Motzi. It says, Ben Mevorach La'aviv. Oh, unless what the Gemara finally concludes, that at one stage the Gemara thought Motzi, no question about it. But it could be, as the Ramban, all the dust settles, the Braisa stuff may not even mean that. The Gemara was pilfering back and forth. Maybe the Gemara thought that's what it meant, but at the end of the day, it may not even mean it. So the Ramban, if you take a look at the Mechamis, a long, long Mechamis explains to you, the Braisa, I'm not losing any sleep over, says the Ramban. But Baruch Hashem, the Ramban saved Rabbi Kivega's sleepless nights. Because now Rabbi Kivega says, Ach Hashem Atzasi, when I found this Rabbi Mechamis tucked away in Maseches Brachas, I realized in Maseches, when I was learning Maseches Megillah, I was saying, sure, Megillah is up to Rabbi Kivega, and I was bothered no end for the Kash against the Ramban. When I finally got to the Mechamis of Brachas, I realized that the Ramban is Lashitas. So they say, when all the dust settles for our purposes, chinuch min rabbanim is a katan mechuy b'davar? Is a chinuch la'av? What's the answer? It's a machlokes, yes? Taisin the Ramban? According to Taisus, you could have a case, as long as you can get the chiyuv to be equal but different, whatever it is, as long as you can get on the same level of chiyuv, same mark or chiyuv, you can have a katan mechuy b'davar. According to the Ramban, that is an impossible, inconceivable statement. Bali Taisus were of the opinion, their girsa of the Taimich, which they did have, that girsa in the Gemara points in the direction that a katan is a mechuy b'davar mid rabbanan, and you have to explain with Megillah, chad rabbanan, trei rabbanan. According to Rabbanan, didn't have that line in the Gemara, chiyav achiyav is mutl alav. Hopefully, that's him tomorrow. We're going to come back a little bit more about this machlokes taisus in the Ramban, get back into the Hilmi Malka story, and try to almost connect the dots in terms of how all the pieces of information we're talking about now is going to play out in the discussion between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim back on the basis of the base class.